Well, as you see, we're doing a little something different this week. It's they wanted to give me an hour and a half to preach. No, just kidding. Yeah, right. I know how that goes. We'll actually close out the service with a bunch of music and singing and worship and leave here on that note. But I'll tell you what, we find our way coming to the end of this series. And I actually gave Pat the option. Brother Pat's going to be preaching next Sunday. I'll be out of town, and he can either close out the series or he can do whatever God leads him to do, and then I'll close out the series. But we've been in 2 Chronicles, and we've been looking at the kings of Judah, the southern kingdom of Judah, and we've entitled the series Game Changers. And what we found is, and you can pull up the next slide, is that there's a whole bunch of kings in the southern kingdom. On the left are the ones that the Bible describes as being doing evil in the eyes or the sight of God. And so there's such a long list, and we can certainly read through 2 Chronicles, and sometimes it reads just like a soap opera. You can't make this stuff up. It is true to life. It is so good. It is such a wonderful read, and you start to see that these are real people dealing with real issues just like you and I. And they make bad choices sometimes, just like you and I. And so they did, in some cases, they did evil in the sight of God or in the eyes of God. And what that really means is that they embraced culture rather than embracing God. They bought into the lifestyle of this world instead of buying into the upright, chaste, and good, beautiful life that God has promised us. And so, as you see on the left, there were a number of them, and I've been reading them, and so I'll challenge myself again. I'm no Hebrew scholar, but I'll read through the names as they are: Rehoboam, Jeroboam, Ahaziah, Ahaz, Manasseh, Ammon, Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim, and Zedekiah. And you read through 2 Chronicles, and you start to see that all of these kings, and there's a bunch, did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And what that really meant was they were so consumed with what this world could give them that they totally ignored what God had planned for them. They were so consumed about what this world could do for them that they totally ignored what they could do for God. And so they lived a very disobedient life to God's call on their life. They just essentially turned a blind eye to everything about God. And they sought out treasure. They sought out glory. They sought out power. All of these things that the world could promise them. And yet they ignored God. And so they did evil in the eyes of God. And then we have certain kings of Judah, and you see how the list gets a little narrower there. There were five of them: Jehoshaphat, Joaz, Amaziah, Uzziah, and Jotham. And Jotham is the one we'll camp out on today. But these, they either were described as doing good or doing right in the eyes of God. And for those of you who have been here all this series, you probably know the Hebrew words now, but I'll go back to them. To do good in the eyes of God is to say that, use the Hebrew word tov. We would say T-O-B, but they put a V sound to it, tov. Hey, when God created the heavens and the earth, and he created all of what we see around us, at the end of each day of creation, he looked upon it and he said, it is good. And that's that same Hebrew word. And then what it means is it's beautiful. In other words, they did something beautiful in the eyes of God. Or they're described as being yashar. That's a Hebrew word, and it means right or upright, outstanding in my person. I'm very concerned about my appearance and the way I act, and not so much concerned about you, but just so you know that I'm very upright. And God would describe them, or Bible describes them, as being doing what was right in the eyes of the Lord. They were either good in the eyes of the Lord, or they were right in the eyes of the Lord. And then the list gets a lot smaller when we get to those who could really put it all together and truly be game changers. Those who did what was good and right. And you say, well, how do you get that out of Scripture? It's there. And if you really just kind of camp out on this and you start reading all these descriptions, there's a standard format that's used in 2 Chronicles, actually in 1 Chronicles, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, when they start talking about the history of Israel, the northern kingdom, or Judah, the southern kingdom. They would say, Sean, he became king of Judah when he was X number of years old, and he reigned X number of years until the day he died. He was born of so-and-so, and he lived a good life. He did what was evil, right, good, good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And every king of Judah, every king of Israel, actually every king of Judah, they go through and describe this in the Word of God. So if they take the time to lay it out in such a format, it's incumbent upon us sometime when we read Scripture to really understand what they're trying to say. They're trying to differentiate who is it and what does it mean to do evil in the eyes of God. Then who are those who are good or right? And then we have those that are good and right. And I put a star by everyone that we've covered with the exception of Jotham in the middle. We'll get to him today. But King Asa, King Josiah that we covered last week, and then Jehoshaphat, Joash, Amaziah, Uzziah. We kind of got things out of order because we did Josiah last week. But Jotham is actually Uzziah's son. And we find ourselves going to 2 Chronicles chapter 27, and we find ourselves here. And see if this sounds familiar. Jotham was 25 years old when he became king. Hey, they're sticking to the formula here. And he reigned in Jerusalem 16 years. His mother's name was Jerusha's daughter of Zadok. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done. But unlike Uzziah, he, that is Jotham, did not enter the temple. The people, however, continued their corrupt practices. Jotham rebuilt, and he goes on and talks a little bit about that, and I'll get into it in a little bit. Jotham, the son of Uzziah. Go to the next slide, and I'll kind of summarize this. The last few weeks where we've been. Jehoshaphat, he did what was right in the eyes of God, but he was consumed with conquest. You know, that's why I really love reading the Old Testament, especially in 2 Chronicles here. You start to realize these were people who were either good or right in the eyes of God. In other words, they had something. They were beginning to put it together. Their heart was really given over to God for the most part, but they continued to make bad choices, if you will, kind of like me. Jehoshaphat, he was good in the eyes of God or right in the eyes of God, but he was consumed with conquest. He just had to have more all the time. Church was a part of his life. God was a part of his life, but it wasn't an all-consuming part of his life. He still loved the things of this world. And so he lived with one foot with God and one foot in the world. And then there's Joash. He was good, but not for his whole life. And like many of us, Joash started in such a good way, like we were brought up, quote, in church, if you were. And we started along the right path, and then we veered off somewhere. Well, in the case of Joash, he was good as long as the chief priest was there tapping him on the shoulder. That's my summary of what the Bible says, but that is the case. As long as Sean Justice was the pastor here or preacher here, as long as Pat Rollerson was here, you behaved. As long as Eddie Blaylock was in place, Kevin and I didn't get out of line. But as soon as that oversight was not there, we went and did our own thing. And that's what Joash did. He was good, but not for his whole life. Then there was Amaziah. We titled him as the half-hearted king. It says he did what was right in the eyes of God, but not with his whole heart. And so he had a very half-hearted approach. Church was a good thing. Check it off the list. I look a certain way. Check it off the list. I appear to be right in the eyes of God, but I'm far from it. Check it off the list. And we have Uzziah, who's actually Jotham's father, Uzziah. He was the proud king. He was the one that pride crept into his reign. He started out in such a good way. He gained power. God made him very powerful. God blessed him. And he had given his whole heart to God, and God honored him. God blessed him. God gave him many things, and it went to his head. Pride crept in. And then we talked about Josiah last week. He did both what was good and right in the eyes of God. And we entitled him as being a man on a mission. And talking about the mission of a true game changer. And so now we find our way who are we at today? Jotham. I can never remember his name. Potential. That's what Jotham exhibited. Potential that just kind of went untapped. Y'all get tired of hearing all the stories of my upbringing and childhood, but I'll give you another one. I grew up playing Dixie Youth Baseball, and I loved it. And we played every spring and summer and all-stars and going to tournaments, things like this. And there was a young man, he was 1 year older than me, left-handed. Folks, he had the most amazing hand-eye coordination. He had the most amazing power when he would step into and hit a ball. Yeah, he was a little bit bigger than the rest of us. but he had the technique down. He had God-given ability. God had blessed him with gift, with talent. And at 8 years old, 9 years old, they had to take him out of our league because he was too good. They move him up to a higher league. And he wound up playing on the high school baseball team before he was even in high school. Sounds real parallel to Josh Hamilton, by the way. If you ever read a story about Josh Hamilton, he was always that good. From the first time he picked up a bat, you could look at him and go, ooh, God has really blessed him. Well, this young man where I grew up was that way too. He had the most incredible talent as a hitter. He didn't just hit for power. He spread the ball all over the field. You couldn't pitch to him without him hitting the ball. He was that good. And power? Wow. I've never seen a baseball fly off the bat. Everything he hit was dead on solid. You never saw him fouling balls off left or right. Everything he hit was right on the screws, as we would say. And he could hit a ball at 9 years old. He could hit it over 300 feet. He had talent. He had vision. He had ability. He had strength. And up through high school, he just continued to hone his skill and get better. It's interesting that you would look in the stands and half of the people that were there were scouts for professional baseball teams. That good. And then another portion of the people that were there were from colleges that were trying to get this talent to come to their school. And at the end of his senior year, he decided that with his skill set, with his ability, and he understood there were some things he needed to work on, and he was just a good old country boy from Chipley, Florida, he needed to hang around town. And so he enrolled and got a scholarship at a college not far from Chipley. Went there. I don't think he ever played a game. And came home. There was loads of potential, but his heart just weren't in it. There was loads of talent, but he just walked away from the opportunity. There was so much there that could have been used that went wasted. When you read Jotham, when we read about Jotham in 2 Chronicles chapter 27, I love this. We covered Josiah last week. Josiah had three chapters dedicated to him. He had a very full life, a very full service. Jotham gets a chapter that is not even one-fourth of a page in my Bible. Potential, yes. Let's read about Jotham. It already says in verse 2 of chapter 27, it says, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Uzziah had done, but unlike his father, he did not enter the temple of the Lord. You can take that two ways. I'll get to both of them in a little bit. It says, the people, however, the people that he was ruling, continued their corrupt practices. So Jotham never really reached out, never really got out to the people. Jotham, he did rebuild the upper gate of the temple of the Lord, which that's a good thing. And he did extensive work on the wall of the hill at Ophel. He built towns in the Judean hills, the southern kingdom, and forts and towers in the wooded areas. Jotham, in verse 5, he made war on the king of the Ammonites and he conquered them. These were the known and common enemies of the day. It says, that year the Ammonites started to pay him 100 talents of silver, 10,000 cores of wheat, and 10,000 cores of barley. In other words, they were paying him to keep him off of their turf. They would say, we'll just give you money if you'll quit attacking us because you're too strong and God's on your side. The Ammonites, they brought him the same amount in the second and third years of his reign. And it says in verse 6 that he grew powerful because he walked steadfastly before the Lord his God. Great. And then the other events of Jotham's reign, what? Included in all his wars and other things he did are written in the book of the kings of Israel, and they're starting to close out the chapter. And I was reading through this, and I go, am I reading the cliff notes on this? Am I reading the summary on this? Is this all that a man who gave his heart to God, who walked steadfastly in the ways of God, who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, is this all that we have to see and to hear? There's such great potential in somebody like that. And I think the conclusion that you have to come to is, he just didn't do a lot with what God gave him. And I hate to give it all away here at the beginning, but that's just the way it is. He just like my friend that I grew up with that had such immense talent, had such immense potential, just never really did anything with it. Oh, and my friend was happy with that. He's very happy. But what God gave him got wasted. You say, Sean, how can you say that? Well, it didn't get used. It didn't benefit anybody. In the case of Jotham, it wasn't used to glorify God and his kingdom and grow God's kingdom. The people were still suffering. Let's look at Jotham, and I kind of summarize it this way. Jotham, juxtaposed against what a true game changer is, first and foremost in verse 2, it says, a game changer does not condone nor does he allow corrupt practices. We read this about Jotham in verse 2. It says that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And they said that he was yashar. He was upright in the eyes of the Lord. And I'm sure that you are. I try to be, without a doubt. I try to be. But what separates those who are good in the eyes of the Lord or those who are right in the eyes of the Lord is usually what it comes down to is this, is they were concerned about themselves, but not so much concerned about everybody else. It's one thing to get my personal relationship with God right, and we all have to, but we have to move on. We have to become a game changer. We must become a missionary at some point where God has placed us in his mission field to use what God has given us, God, the talents God has given us. Go to the prisons. Go to the foreign countries. Go to Suwannee County. Go to Lafayette County. Go to Columbia County, wherever it may be. But use what God has given you for his glory and his honor. And not just to be good or upright in the eyes of God, but to start impacting others, to start drawing others to God so that they could see your life. They would ask you, what is it that's so different? And right then you can become a game changer. Right then, you can start to take the bull by the horns and you can say, you know, I don't know what it is, but I do know this. Ever since I've asked Jesus in my heart, that's kind of a churchy way to say it. Let me just say it this way. Ever since I come to the realization that I am a sinner, and the Bible says I am, and I didn't want to be that way anymore, and I knew that I needed forgiveness of my sin, and the Bible says that Jesus paid the just penalty for our sin on the cross, I gave my life to him. And I've been radically changed. I'm totally different than I used to be. The things that I want now are not what I used to want. And I can't explain it. All I know is this, is that when I met Jesus, God's one and only Son, he changed my life. That's what a true game changer does. In the case of Jotham, it says that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord just as his father had done. And I say that, you know, Jotham was good enough that he met expectations of the family. And I think some of us kind of fall into that same mold, that same ditch, that same routine, that same rut, is that we're good at being what everybody else wants us to be. We're good at being what our family expects of us. But are we good at being what God desires of us? Are we good at using what God has given us for his glory and his kingdom? Jotham, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father had done. And then it says, but unlike him, he did not enter the temple of the Lord. And you can read that two ways. And both of them kind of have a negative connotation. You have to first understand that Uzziah, pride crept in. Well, here's how pride crept in. He decided that, well, you know what? I'm so big, I'm so powerful, I'm so successful. I don't need the priests anymore. I'll just go into the temple and I'll burn incense unto the Lord. And he violated the order that God had set in place. And essentially, Uzziah said, I'm bigger than that. God's rules don't apply to me. And pride destroyed him. It says he became leprous and he died, really an outcast. They wouldn't even bury him with the rest of the kings. They wouldn't honor him with such a burial because he had been so prideful. And we see that Jotham, just as his father had done, yes, he walked right, or he was right in the eyes of the Lord. It says, but unlike him, he did not enter the temple of the Lord. And you say, okay, he didn't make the same mistakes of the past. He did not make the same mistakes that his father Uzziah had done. That's one way to interpret it. Well, here's another way to interpret it. He still weren't involved in church. He wanted to look a certain way, but he could not take that next step in his relationship with God. You know, I don't know really which way to interpret it. Neither one are that good. I don't know really which way to take the interpretation, but I do know this. It needs to apply to my life. I don't need to carry on the mistakes of the past, be it my mistakes, my folks, or whoever it may be, whoever's a good influence on me. But then I don't need to distance myself from the one place that God has really mandated and ordained that we come and fellowship and assemble together. The Bible would even say that. Do not forsake the assembling of the saints. And God expects us to come and to have this corporate worship and fellowship together. And He expects us to have these small groups and this wonderful time where we can share each other's needs and then we can go out and we can be the church. It says in Jotham in chapter 27 and verse 2, it says, He did just as His father Uzziah had done, but He did not enter the temple of the Lord. Well, you can take that either way. And then you take it one step further and it says, The people, however, during this time continued their corrupt practices. What does that say about Jotham, their leader? Not much. Not much. So it would make me kind of interpret it this way. He was a figurehead who was looked upon as being right in the eyes of God, but He did not get down here on our level and try to help us one bit. He didn't even go to the temple. He just stayed up there in the ivory palace somewhere. He wasn't concerned with us. He couldn't lead us. He did all of the things that were expected of a king at that time. He made war. He made money. He provided security. But he did not honor the Lord. He did not take that next step. You see, a game changer will not condone nor allow corrupt practices. Just as the father had done, okay, let's say he just tried to say, okay, I'm not going to go down that same road as my father Uzziah. I'm just not going to do it. But what eventually happened was the people continued in their degradation. He failed to lead them. He failed to reach out and to change them. Notice as we go on in verses 3 and 4, it says that Jotham, verse 3, it says he rebuilt the upper gate of the temple. That's great. And he did extensive work on the wall at the hill of Ophel. He built towns in the Judean hills and forts and towers in the wooded areas. I hope you and I are known more about what we do here than what we've built for ourselves elsewhere. And I say it this way, game changers will not settle for just ribbon cuttings and gold shovels. You know who I'm talking about? And I'm not talking about anyone in particular, but you know the type. Anytime there's a grand opening, they're there. Anytime there's a new construction project, they're there holding the golden shovel. I don't know if they know how to use a shovel or not. I don't know if they actually know how to work. I don't think that there's any calluses on their hands. I don't think their back's ever been sore, but they're there. You know, in church, we have that too. They're there for all the big banner hangings, the big collections, the wonderful ceremonies. But they're not working. They're not serving. They're not hurting. They're not fellowshipping. How can you be right in the eyes of God and let the people go to hell? How can you do that as a church? How can you be here and just let everybody around you fall further and further away from God? A game changer won't do that. A game changer is not interested in the ribbon cuttings. A game changer is not interested in the golden shovels. A game changer, although they list this about Jotham, it says that he rebuilt the upper gate of the temple. You know, that's a good thing. He put a new roof on the church. Great. And then it goes on to say that he built forts. He did extensive work on the hill of Ophel. He built towns in the Judean hills, forts and towers in the wooded area. Wonderful. But when it really came down to it, he wasn't a game changer. And you know how we really know that? He barely got three paragraphs written about him. And he was a king of the southern kingdom of Judah who, yes, did what was right in the eyes of God, but he never took that next step. If all of your relationship is about you coming through these doors and sitting here once a week for 1 hour, then you and I fall short in the very same way. Yeah, we want to be a part of what God's doing out here, and we want to be a part as in being seen. Do you want to be a part as in going and influencing others? going and truly being a game changer, reaching out and helping those in need, trying to grow in maturity as a fellowship, being a part of life groups, small groups, whatever it may be. Are you not taking that next step? I hate to write it that way, but you know, when I read that, and I start reading about, of everything that they could tell about Jotham, what could they, I mean, of everything that he did in his life, you know what the most poignant and worthy portion of it was? Well, he was a good builder. A game changer will not settle for ribbon cuttings and gold shovels. It has to be more in your relationship with God. It has to be more in your mission for God. Notice in verses 5 through 9, really as we finish out, it said, Jotham made war on the king of the Ammonites and he conquered them. Everybody conquered them. They got conquered by every king, unless the king did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and then the Lord gave them over to the Ammonites. Go back and read. And the Ammonites were the common enemy. They were the easy target. Whoop-de-doo. I don't mean to pick on Jotham too much, and I know it sounds like that. In verses 5 through 9, we read and we see that the game changer will try to correct the mistakes of the past, even past generations. I will give Jotham credit in this regard in verse 6. It talks about, yeah, in verse 5, it says that he made war against the king of the Ammonites. Well, they all did. Nothing special there. He conquered them. That's great. God gave them over to his hands, and it says, Jotham grew powerful because he walked steadfastly before the Lord his God. That is why he's described as being right in the eyes of God. We can't be satisfied with just that. It's necessary, it's needed to be good and right, to be a true game changer in the eyes of God. We have to be right or upright. But it can't stop with just this focus on ourselves. Do you know that a monk in a monastery has a very close relationship with God, prays constantly, sings hymns all day long, makes vows to God and honors and keeps those vows. And a monk in a monastery stays inside the walls. It never gets out. It is a very personal, it is very real, it is a very true relationship with God that does not impact you or me. They're upright in the eyes of God. They do what was right in the eyes of God, or they may even be good in the eyes of God. And I'm not picking on them. I'm just saying, this is where the rubber meets the road. You can either be one or the other, or you can take that next step and be both, good and right, and be a true game changer. Jotham was not. It says that God did bless him. He grew powerful because he walked steadfastly before the Lord his God. Those are all wonderful things. But the people, it was a degrading society that continued to spiral out of control. But Jotham walked steadfastly. Game changer, go back to the first one, doesn't allow corrupt practices. Let me say it this way. It's one thing to be concerned about how you live your life, but a true game changer will try to impact positively and righteously how others live their lives. A game changer, number two, will not settle for just ribbon cuttings and gold shovels. A game changer, number three, will try to correct the mistakes of the past, even past generations. So the takeaway, and I wrote just three little takeaways here. We must impact and influence others if we are to be a game changer. That's what it really all comes down to. That is the one defining point. And Brother Pat may or may not talk about it next week. I'll let God decide that with Pat. Possibly he'll be covering Hezekiah. And I won't steal all the thunder, but Hezekiah was the one that could kind of sort of put it all together. Short of Jesus Christ, Hezekiah in the Old Testament kind of put all the pieces together. A game changer must impact and influence others. First and foremost, Jotham did what was right, but the people still followed corrupt practices. But he did what was right, but the people never were improved. Jotham invested in bricks and mortar. You know, he built a lot of things, but the people still followed corrupt practices. It still comes back to that. Jotham battled the old foe, the Ammonites. Everybody did. You see, the people still follow corrupt practices. So, how do you have such great potential, such great talent, and walk upright in the eyes of God? God even bless you because of your steadfast following of Him. And yet the people are still suffering, hurting, and getting further and further away from God. You can do what is right in the eyes of the Lord and still fall short of being a true game changer. Think of my friend. He's happy. Trust me, he is. He doesn't think back on that. He doesn't look back on it and go, you know, I wish I should have, I could have done things like that. He's doing what he wants to do now, I can assure you. I look at him and I say, God, there was so much potential. And it wasn't just about making money as a Major League Baseball player, but it was about being the best, utilizing everything that God has given you to the best of your ability to give it to Him. Let Him bless you with opportunity. Let Him bless you with results. Let Him bless you with accolades, whatever it may be. But I just know that my friend had a lot of potential that was never realized. I know that Jotham, he had a good upbringing, not a perfect one. He tried to fix the mistakes of the father. He tried to do it a little bit better, but he never could get out of that me, me, me in his relationship with God. What about you? I hope when I read this, and I really had to come back to it, 1, 2, 3 paragraphs. I hope that when all is said and done, that I don't just have 3 paragraphs written about me in some obituary somewhere. Said, oh, he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. You should have seen his house. It was great. And he helped build this, that, and the other. And so you could always pick Sean out there. He was always at the ribbon cuttings and had the gold shovel in hand. He was always a part of the celebration of other things being done. But as a preacher, as a pastor, as a minister, Sean really never elevated anybody else around him. I sure hope that's not the way my obituary is written one day. Because that's essentially what we have here with Jotham. 3 paragraphs. He was a king. He made war. He built some stuff. He followed God. And the people still suffered. Folks, to be a game changer, you just have to come to that realization to say, there has to be more in my relationship with God. There has to be more than just this. There has to be more than just coming to church. There has to be more than just being a church member. There has to be more. God has so much more in plan and in store for us. He wants us to be game changers. Let's pray.